just turn, if you will, just for a couple of minutes, just to Joshua, Old Testament book, Joshua chapter 3. While you're turning there, let me just pray. Lord, we just ask you to have your way this morning. Please teach us your word. Teach us what you want us to know. Help us to grow. Help us to be strong. Help us to be more like you. Give us peace and wisdom. Give us knowledge of your word, not for academic reasons, not for scholastic reasons, not even for informational reasons, Lord, but give us knowledge of your word that will transform us, that will conform us into your image and to your likeness, that we might be like you. Lord, may this service from beginning to end, may it glorify you, Lord. May it be to your will that we might glorify you and your people might be edified. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've heard the story of Joshua. The Negro spiritual said Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Remember that? We know that Joshua and Jericho are, there was a Negro spiritual by that name. And we also know that that the walls of Jericho was one of those things that we learned about in Sunday school. Right? Remember that? The walls of Jericho. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. So what I want to do for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to just take a few minutes today because I'm going to stretch this out. When I started looking at Joshua and the walls of Jericho in this battle, I said, this is something that I want to talk about, but I can handle this in one sermon. Just want to just give you a few little points about how the wall came down and why it's important. That was on Monday. Tuesday, it escalated a little. By Wednesday, I was into a two-part series. By Thursday, I thought, this is going to take a minute. I'm going to need the rest of April and maybe the first week of May. But who knows? But I think as I started to peel away the onion rings and look at this, I said, oh, man, there's a lot more here than just a wall falling down. There's a lot more here than just a battle in Jericho, you know, some, I don't know, 5,000 years ago. There's a lot of meat, as we like to say, on this bone, okay? So I started looking at it, and I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you that I think will be a blessing to you as you encounter walls and obstacles and barriers in your daily life. Amen? Okay, so watch what it says. Here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 14, it says, so the people left their camp to cross the Jordan. And the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priest, you know where this is going. As soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water, at the river's edge, the water above the point began backing up a great distance. Doesn't this sound like Moses crossing the Red Sea? It sounds like Moses crossing the Red Sea. Because there's Moses touching a rod on the Red Sea, the sea parting. You know, we know the story. But this is so much more. This is so much more. Watch what happens here. It says, the water above the point began backing up a great distance away to a town, at a town called Adam. I didn't even know there was such a town called Adam, which is near Zarethan, and the water below the point flowed onto the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. This also sounds like Moses and the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea, because the Bible says that the Lord dried up the seabed. They didn't walk across in mud. The Lord dried the land so that they could get carriages and babies and elderly and belongings and possessions across as well. Imagine 2 to 3 million people trying to cross a riverbed that was full of mud and mush and muck and mire. That would be impossible, just about, right? Listen what the Bible says. It says in verse 17, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground, ladies and gentlemen, in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. So I looked up these maps online, and the Jordan River is not, listen, the Jordan River is not the Ohio River. The Jordan River is not Euclid Creek. The Jordan River is massive, 223 miles from Mount Hermon all the way down to the Dead Sea. 223 miles. It's a massive river. And the river can be as deep in places as 10 feet deep and as wide as a half a mile. That's like a block. This was a massive river. It was called the Jordan River. And I know we know about the Jordan River. It's mentioned in the Bible like 195 times. Literally, I looked it up. We know Jesus was baptized there. John the Baptist baptized there. Elisha with an S, Elijah with a J, both crossed the Jordan River. And not only that, the Jordan River, I don't know if Todd's on or not, but Elder Todd preached a sermon a couple years ago about the Jordan River where Naaman, the guy who had leprosy, which was a death sentence in that time, it was worse than fourth stage cancer. Having leprosy was a slow and painful, sure death sentence. And he dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, and his leprosy went away. And the Bible says his skin was like that of a baby, and he was like a new man. So the Jordan River is famous. Famous, 195 times in Scripture. But none more important than this time, because God did this. God made this blockage. Watch this. They're coming to the Jordan River, 3 million people. Women, children, babies, nursing mothers, elderly people with all their possessions in the world. They have tents, they have chairs, they have cooking utensils. They had to bring everything with them. Imagine taking your house, your apartment right now, packing it up on a cart and walking across Lake Erie with it. Now, Lake Erie's a little bigger, But even walking across Euclid Creek, say 10 times, with all your possessions, what you could bring. Obviously, I wouldn't be bringing a keyboard, and I'd be really salty, but I would definitely get my laptop on that package somehow. But imagine, you're crossing this thing, and this thing at some widths are, like I said, a half a mile. But here's what I wanted you to see. This was why the map for this one. Thank you, Marcus, for putting this up here. The Bible says that the Lord stopped the water for them from Adam, which is a city up here in the northern part of the country, all the way down to Jericho, which is right near the Dead Sea. This is, in some cases, according to some archaeologists and stuff that I looked up, it's between 16 and 20 miles. I want you to just conceive of that for a second, because I wanted you to see that before Jericho, there was Jordan. Before Jordan, there was also sanctification. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. The Lord didn't do this miracle all at once. There were stages of getting the people ready. Here's the lesson for you. God is working in your life in stages. He's not going to put you in a position where you got to knock down the walls of Jericho today if you're not spiritually, physically, and mentally ready for it. But God will build us up. He will start with Jordan. He may start with sanctification. He may start with some other process to build up our faith, to get us to the position where when we do have to face Jericho, when you are up against a wall, when you are up against an impossible, unmovable force, God prepares you with the strength, the effort, the knowledge, the wisdom, the resolve, the courage to do it. The Lord, somehow, I would have loved to have had my cell phone to take a picture of what this water from here backed up to here. What did that look like? I mean, we saw Cecil D. DeMille's portrayal of the Ten Commandments, and we saw the water, very poor cinematographics back then. But imagine a water, the Bible says a wall of water was stacked up. leaving this 20-mile stretch of dry land. And you know what? It would have probably taken 20 miles to get 3 million people, animals, cattle, sheep, possessions, kids, carriages, tents, across the river. So I popped into AI and I said, how long would it take? AI, tell me, ChatGPT in this case, how long would it take to get 3 million people a half a mile, including babies and children and elderly in their possessions? The estimate came back about 24 hours to get across the riverbed, perhaps at this spot right here. You can see in this little map that I put together, possible route of the Jews, because we don't know for sure. So I said possible. Here's Jericho. Here are the Jews coming across. Somewhere in here they cross the River of Jordan. And God made it possible. I know you may say, well, Pastor Will, so what's the point? We ain't got to cross no rivers hopefully this week. you may not have to cross that river this week. But you may be crossing a river of troubles, a river of obstacles, a river of challenges, a river of the enemy trying to drown us, trying to snare us, trying to kill us, trying to stop us. And even if he's not trying to do anything physically to you, he may be just trying to discourage you, create doubt, create dissension, create deception, anything to bring us down, anything to hold us back, anything to keep us from reaching the potential that God wants us to do or stopping us from doing our very best. That is an enemy, a ploy of the enemy. And God says we can be victorious. If he can stop a river, he can knock down a wall. If he can stop a river of pain and suffering in your life, he can knock down the walls of deceit and danger and sickness and illness and poverty in your life as well. Amen. Do you all believe that?
Yes, 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 yes.
Listen, I don't know what happened, and I won't even try to presume that I know what happened, but I want to show you, if Mark will hit the lights for 1 minute and 57 seconds, 1 minute and 57 seconds, I found this clip. For 1 minute and 57 seconds, I'm not bragging. It took me 3 hours to cut this thing down. How can I chop this up? How can I get this YouTube movie down to 1 minute and 57 seconds so y'all wouldn't fall asleep watching it? So I finally figured it out. Had to buy an app from the Microsoft store. Had to go to the Apple store. Had to download something from the internet. I mean, if anybody know a quicker way, help a brother out, because this took way too long. Marcus is going to show this minute and 57 clip of the Jordan River and what may have happened. We worked on this morning. It was perfect. There we go.
In him. So I spoke to the people. Come near and hear the words of the Lord your God. By this you shall know that the living God is among you. The priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth shall set foot in the Jordan, and its waters shall be cut off, standing in a heap.
So hey, Marcus, can you pause it for a second? Thank you. Let me just set this up. So this, where we're at is, we're in chapter 3, and this is the Lord speaking to Joshua. This is straight from Scripture. This is not any sort of dramatization. This is not any acting. This part, the narrative that you hear, the voiceover, he's reading it from Scripture, what the Lord said in Joshua 3, okay? The picture is a drama. We don't know if this is how it was depicted or not, but the words are from Scripture and what the Lord told Joshua to tell the people, all right? So what we're seeing is what's going to happen for the next minute and 15 seconds. Go right ahead, Mark.
The Ark of the Covenant went before the people. They set their feet into the waters of the Jordan, swollen and overflowing in its flood. all the people had crossed, the Lord spoke to me again.
All right, very good. I was going to point out, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. A little bit of portion was incorrect. As you saw near the end, they were at first, they were showing them walking through some shallow, ankle-deep water. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible said the land was completely dry. The Bible says that when the priests that were carrying the Ark of the Covenant touched the water dried up instantaneously. It wasn't muddy. It wasn't murky. It wasn't sludge. It was actual dry land. But they did show the dry land just as the clip was ending. So I'm glad that was that part was cleaned up. But I wanted to point that out. The reason I thought that was important is because naysayers and atheists and agnostics will say, well, they just waded through the water. That was nothing. It was like some hikers on a trail. A little bit of water down there. It was no big deal. No, there was a lot of water. It was during flood season. It was the beginning of the time of the year where the banks of the Jordan River would overflow. It was dangerous. The water was so dangerous that there would be parts where you could not tell where the current is. You could step in an area that was soft and you could fall into a sinkhole. You could trip over rocks. You could drown. The water was up to 10 feet in some places. This was no easy undertaking for some physical guys that go to the gym every day. We're talking about 3 million people possibly, between 2 and 3 million people carrying their life's possessions with children, with elderly, etc. The Bible says that the Lord created an opening that nobody else could have created. These people didn't come to a bridge. They came to a flood. And God said, I'm going to get you through the flood. He didn't build a bridge. He didn't work a way around. He said, you're going right through the middle. And I believe that's, amen, amen. And listen, I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to step out. We confront our problems head on. If you're up against something, God will give you the victory. You can't hide. You can't run. You pray. Why panic when you can pray? Amen. The Bible says that they had success when they, A, got out of their tents and said, let's go. Nothing was going to happen while they were in their tents. Faith is not passive. Faith is not stagnant. Faith is not indifference. Faith is not a Hail Mary. Faith is making a decision, a positive decision based on God's word. How does faith come? According to Romans 10:17, it comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So faith is based on intelligence. Faith is based on information. Faith is based on knowing the outcome that God has planned and you trusting in that even when he doesn't share the details with you. Amen? Oh, this is exciting to me. What's exciting is that we look at this as a Sunday school cartoon story. I started looking up clips to try to get sort of a real life clip or a reenactment clip as opposed to animation. And all I'm seeing is like Superbook. I'm seeing, Veggie Tales. I'm seeing like, can I get something that ain't a cartoon? Has anybody tried to do a movie on the Jordan River crossing? Anybody? You know, so I finally found this. And one of the things that I was encouraged about is that as I started looking at it, I saw 3 points that I want to share with you. Point number 1, God sometimes leads us to the edge before he opens the way. So I want to say that to you again. Sometimes God will lead you or involve you in a situation that you don't see a solution for, and you won't see a solution until you make a deliberate attempt, a deliberate effort to, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to trust God to work this thing out in my life, whether it's on your job, whether it's at school, at work, at home, your finances, your health, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, whatever is going on in your life. God wants us to make a decision. I am going to go with him even when I don't see a possible solution. They saw no way. It's not up here anymore, but it doesn't matter what God said to Joshua. He never gave him, listen, this is important. He never gave him the specifics or a play-by-play of how he was going to get them across the Jordan River. He never gave them a detailed plan. And you know what I remembered? It reminded me of what the psalmist says in Psalms 109. It says, I wish I had a prop. Wish I had a flashlight. Here's what it said. It said that the Lord's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway.
Come on, Pastor. Come on.
The Lord shows us sometimes only a step at a time. We want to look over here. We want to know what's to the right. We want to know what's to the left. We want to know what's ahead.
But God said, oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm only showing you one step. You trust me for step one, I'll show you step two. You trust me for step two, I'll open up step three. You just trust me. You're not going to get a panoramic view. I'm not going to give you the whole picture right now. You can't handle the truth. That's a quote from you know what. So you can't handle the whole picture. I'm just going to show you just a little glimpse so that you can be okay with that. And here's what the good news is. If we trust God for this step, then we have the confidence that he's going to show us the next one and the next one. So we take this thing a step at a time. Here's my point number two, that Israel could shout. You're going to see this next week. Well, maybe not next week, but maybe the week before. I'm going to talk about what happened around the wall. Israel couldn't shout until they first get across the Jericho. They had to first get across the Jordan, rather, before they could get to Jericho. Sometimes we want to cross the finish line and get the ribbon and get all the applause and a ticker tape parade. And the Lord said, oh, wait. You got to get to that point yet. You got to get training for that. You have to be in a better position than you are now. You're going to get there, but I need you to go through just a couple more things. And I need you all to just give me a couple more minutes. I'm almost done. But I like the fact that before the Jericho situation came, the Jordan River came. Sometimes God will give you one test before he gives you another test. Sometimes you'll go through something small before you go through something larger. Amen? And here's my last point. I said in my notes that before they could face the wall, they had to trust God with the water. Sometimes God will say, show me that you believe me. I love what James says. Here's what James says in James 2:17. King James Version reads it as, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. But James says that what the Lord is saying in his word, show me thy faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, faith is action. That's James chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. And so the Lord is saying there, I'll show you what I'm going to do, but you have to believe first. Trust me. He doesn't say that we have to do a lot of stuff. This is not a actions-oriented God. It's a trust and faith-oriented God. He does the work. Amen? Isn't that great? All the heavy lifting is done by the Lord. We should be rejoicing that we serve a God that says, guess what? If you trust me, I will do the work. If you believe me, I'll move the stumbling blocks and burdens in your life. If you trust me, I will open doors for you. I love that so much. I love it. I know. I told this story before, but I'll just take 2 seconds to tell it again. So Maria and I, we were married, I guess, by now 4 years. Since we're celebrating anniversaries, Reg and Dev just celebrated their 53rd like a week ago. Amen. So Sister Marie and I, we were married. We had Kimberly, we had Mark, we had Steve. We had 3 kids. We were living in a little tiny 2-bedroom apartment. It's okay, because Reg and Dev had lived in the apartment before. They kind of passed it on to us. 643 Euclid Avenue in Akron, Ohio. We're living in that little apartment, and it was getting tight, and we needed. I know. I see. I got talking points. I probably will get to it next week. But I'm gonna put up the Monday morning moment in a minute as I sit down. So we're living in this little tiny apartment, and Sister Maria is pregnant with Deanna, and I just prayed. I said, Lord, we cannot bring another kid into this apartment. I mean, I had one room with a big old upright piano, huge piano. I mean, it took four of us to get it up the third. We're on the third floor of a three-story building. We got this big, huge, hunking piano. We got our stuff. We have a living room set, which is just a couch and a chair. We had a TV that was like 12 inches big. But, you know, we were all right. We're okay, except we had no more bed space. We had no more room. Mark and Steve and Kim were all in one room. So we said, Lord, we really, really need a place. And so the Lord showed us this beautiful little house at 899 Valdez Avenue in Akron, Ohio. And I said, oh, Lord, you would just bless us with this place. Our credit was hit. Lesson to you young people getting married. Don't try to plan no big $5, $10, $20,000 wedding. Save your money. I wish anybody would have told me this. Anybody. Although our wedding wasn't that expensive, it was after church, much like my beautiful couple here, Brother Eddie and Sister Caesar. It was after church. It was after church. We got married after church. But boy, we were just so broke, we couldn't pay attention. And we needed to play. We needed to move. And so we weren't going to be able to get the house because we didn't have any money. We had no down payment. We had no credit. Our credit was hit. And so here's what the Lord did. The Lord laid on my heart. He said, I want you to walk around the house seven times. Just like Jericho. I was thinking about Jericho. And so Sister Marie and I, we went over to the house. We didn't even know the owner yet. We didn't even have a realtor yet. We were just at a place of sheer asking God to do a miracle. And we're walking around the house. I'm saying, what are people going to think? Are we casing the place out? Are we planning to break in? What are we doing? I said, so Reed, when we go around, let's look around a little bit, like we're checking it out. We walked around seven times. I'm not saying this is why we got the place. I'm telling you what happened. The house was only like $19,000 if you were to pay it off altogether. We were just trying to get a loan just to get in the place. The Lord did this. We walked around seven times, and I believe it was shortly thereafter, maybe the same day, the next day, the owner said, now listen to this. He said, not only will we sell you and Marie the house, you don't have to pay for the house right now. You don't have to have a down payment. Wait, the best is yet to come. You can move in and you can rent the house for free for at least 6 months. I couldn't even make this stuff up. The realtor, then one of the guys at our church was one of the elders. He was a realtor. His name was Elder Cotton. You guys remember Elder Cotton? Elder Cotton, who would play golf on Sunday morning when he should have been in church. But at any rate, Elder Cotton said, I don't know how y'all got that deal. He said, I wouldn't have let my mother move into a house with no rent and no down payment. And no means, no visible means of ever being able to pay it. It wasn't like we had A1 credit and a stack of cash in the bank or a rich relative. We saw no way that we were going to get the place. The man and the wife, I don't remember their names to this day, but I know they were just the greatest couple. They said, you guys can move in. Maybe they felt sorry for us, a bunch of kids and no money and nowhere to go. We had a place to go. We just didn't have any room. But they had compassion on us. They said, you can move in. No down payment, no mortgage. You don't even have to have your loan approved yet. You can stay here for at least 6 months. I don't know. We were there a long time before we ever got approved to even get in. And the Lord blessed us to get the house and blessed us to move in. It was a miracle.
Ooh, look at Jesus.
It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And so when Deanna was born, she was the first one born into the new house. And then Kia came along, and then we got sent to St. Louis. So it was all good. But I just wanted to tell you that because this particular account of the Jordan River and Joshua is near and dear to my heart. Because even though our seven times around may not have been why God did it in basically an impossible situation. Forget the mechanism. I don't think it had anything to do with the seven times, but I think it had something to do with God's grace and mercy on us. and we trusted him and we believed him. And if that seven times around that house at 899 Valdez triggered our faith or gave us the impetus to believe that God can do this, so be it. Our trust wasn't in the seven trips around the house. Our trust was in the God who owns the houses and the lands and cattle on a thousand hills.
Yes.
Our trust
yes.
was in him. Amen. Amen. So I already gave you the Monday morning moment. If God can stop the river, he can flatten the wall. If God can give two poor kids from West Akron a house with no money for an indefinite amount of time, what can God do for you? Amen. It's a face, it's a source of faith. Amen. I'm done.
Bishop,
I'm done. Any questions?
Bishop, yeah. Can you hit your walking points real quick?
Yes. So the walking points really quick. Is this the first one? Is this the very first one?
Yes, it is, sir.
Okay. So God will sometimes lead you to the edge. I mentioned this earlier. Give me the next one, please, Marcus, the second one. I mentioned that God didn't build a bridge. He brought them to a flood. He made it as impossible as possible so that they couldn't take any credit. Give me the next one, please, Marcus. Thank you. This is often how God works. He lets us come to the place where we know we can't make it without it. He leads us to an impossible situation, and then he does his thing. The next one, Mark. And I mentioned this before Israel could shout at Jordan, Jericho, they had to step into the Jordan. The next one, please. Okay. Oh, yeah. The miracle didn't begin when they were staying in the camp. Yep, I talked about this. It didn't happen until they got up and got out of their tents. The next one, Marcus, please. Okay, and I talked about faith not being passivity. These are good points that you can, I'll put them in my notes. I'll send them to you next week. And then I think there's one more, which I think is the Monday morning moment. Before they could face the wall, they had to trust God with the water. Amen. That's Joshua 1:2. And the next one, Marcus, some people are waiting for God to do something, and God is already working while we're waiting for him to make a way. He's already made a way. And the next one, okay, the Monday morning moment. Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Any questions, any comments? Sister Jamie, you're first, and then Sister Delilah. Thank you, Marcus and Gloria.